My name is David Wolford, and I'm here with Clara Willis Flowers in Columbia, Kentucky. It is the 8th of August, 2002, and this is part of the school desegregation project. Ms. Flowers, would you just kind of introduce yourself, tell us when you were born and where you're from?
I'm Clara Lee Willis Flowers, and I was born in Adair County, Kentucky, Columbia. And I live at 800 Lancaster Drive now. So.
All right, could you tell us a little bit about attending school in Columbia when you were a child? You know, what was school like and where did you attend school?
I attended the old school that was known as Jackman High School. And it was about a 4 or 5 room building. So it had, it was four rooms, two on the front side and two on the back side. And the first one, as you come in the door, was the elementary, first through fifth grade, I think. And then from the other room was sixth, seventh, and eighth grade. And on the opposite side, that was the high school side. They had, the freshmen, juniors, sophomores, and seniors. And it was one teacher to each room. At that time, I think we had an elementary, had a teacher for the first 5 grades, and then you had a teacher for the next, and then two high school teachers and a principal. And we was all crowded in the first through the fifth grade, they was all crowded in one little room. Of course, the other, the sixth, seventh, and eighth grade, I think they was in a room by themselves. Some was on, maybe wouldn't be that many students in a class, but you had different sections of the room where you were divided off at. And of course we had recess. We didn't have any lunch rooms, had outside toilets, no running water, had a well outside. And
you said there was a principal?
Yeah.
Do you remember the principal's name?
William Traylor.
And then
before him was Ruby Smith.
And before her, okay, we had one. There was some little guy from down south. What was his name?
I don't remember
his wife, she used to give a music lesson. What was his name?
Oh, see, the music teacher, I remember his name.
Now, this was another. Oh, Mercer.
Well, what are some other teachers you do remember, or what are some things you remember about teachers there at Jackman?
I remember there was a teacher named, Betty Williams. I thought she was a mean teacher. She was my first grade teacher. I never will forget that. Then there was Ms. Sprouse. Ms. Smith, Ms. Crow. Well, we had two Ms. Smiths. And both of them name was Ruby. One was
Crystal and one was Homie.
Yeah. Then there was Tandy, later became a Beaumont. And then my uncle, Robert Ewan. And there was a Mrs. Moore. Yeah.
One thing I only one I can remember was Miss Gillen, Miss Smith, two Miss Smith, and Miss Graham.
Yeah, Miss Graham.
Did Mr. Bomer teach there, K.I. Bomer?
No, he never did teach him over there.
Where did he teach? Montpelier?
Montpelier. Yes. And then later on, after they integrated, I think he did substitute. Oh, there was a teacher, Samuels, I think a Samuels. He was, I think, maybe when I first started school, he was there, Professor Samuels.
How would you describe these teachers overall? You know, what would you, or what was your education like, you think, at Jackman in terms of quality?
Well, back then, I thought it was excellent. Because, I mean, that's the only school that I knew. And since it was a school here, right here in the community, that was the only school around here in the surrounding counties, really, well, high school for the blacks to attend, because they came from different areas. They came from Metcalf County, Monroe County, and Russell County, and I think a few came from Greene County to go to attend high school here.
It was the only black high school in the area.
In this area at that time. Well, Taylor County
But certainly people, blacks from other counties came to Jackman. Okay.
Yeah. And other students, the students came and they stayed in people's homes. And I reckon the other counties paid for, you know, them students to come and stay and get their education.
Did it have a pretty good reputation then in the area for
yes,
school?
Yes, that was the, just like the church. Back then, the churches and the school were incorporated together. Whatever went on at school or whatever went on in church, I mean, you know, it was incorporated. The teachers and the preachers and everybody stayed in contact with the children. They knew what was, you know, going on.
Mm-hmm.
So if you had something at the church, I mean, the school kids were involved. You always went to church because I know they used to have what they call a chapel. And that was on Wednesday or Tuesday. Wednesday. Every day of Wednesday, on Wednesday, we'd always have some minister who'd come in and have a devotion service.
This is at the school, though,
that
right?
That was at the school.
Yeah. Now, that wouldn't go over today, would it?
No, not in. Mr. Ross,
yeah.
Reverend Ross. Mm-hmm. Ross. Yeah. He used to come all the time. And, well, I mean, just like I say, if, it would be, the entertainment would be, maybe the teachers would get together in the community, they would have entertainment, they would have socials, or they put on plays, or whatever. I mean, just something for the community to get together and maybe be a fundraiser. And on Friday nights, or sometime they would have a little social, what they call a sock social. And they had a ball team. Of course, they had to, now before they integrated, before the schools are down now, they could go over there and play in the white gym. They could play ball if they had a game to play. But as far as going to school or using their facilities, no. They could do that. And so I guess pretty much we've got a pretty good education considering the time and everything, you know, like that. Because it's been several that has left here, graduated from school and went on to college, and they have gotten degrees in other fields. So.
Now, you attended Jackman and you attended school in Columbia before there was ever an integration. You know, your schooling finished before that happened. When you were a student, and let's talk about high school age, did you ever have a desire to go to school at the white building?
Never. I don't think it ever crossed my mind. because I guess it was, how are you going to say it? It was just a natural thing to do that, you know, I went to this school because this was a black school. I stayed in this neighborhood and the white kids, they stayed in there. Never did think about, you know, going across, crossing the line to go. It never did occur to me. It didn't occur to me because I guess I knew it was
impossible,
or it couldn't happen or what.
Right. You spoke of earlier sometimes maybe blacks could go and play in the gym at the Adair school, mm-hmm. but not to attend school. So that sort of answers this next question, but do you think you or most people from your time really knew what the inside of a white school looked like? I mean, had there been times where you'd gone in a school or people told you about what a white school looked like or how it appeared or how it was different from your own school?
Yes, I think I heard some talk about how theirs was much different than ours. And then, of course, I mean, I guess like a kid or any other child, you wonder, well, why can't we have that? Because I know they would talk about, I think they had the running water, they had the water fountains, and, you know, the inside plumbing and all that. But they kept on saying, one of these days you'll get it. You will have this. You will get this.
Spring of 53 is what I read.
The
report said 53, the uh-huh. report that was in the book that at your house, the
uh-huh.
That's all I'm going by, but it was spring of 53 is what they said.
Well, so we came out and graduation was always in May. So I think we always managed to get out of school in May. We went from,
you know, we had May Day.
Yeah.
So we came out.
We went and we started, we always started in September. September, and we went from September to May. But anyway,
you'd said that they always said someday you'll be in the newer schools, and then you started to say even after Jackman burned down.
After Jackman burned down, didn't have no place to go, and then when they were talking about, you know, the children needed to go to school, have somewhere to go, then the only thing that was left was the white school, and that's when
Sam was saying that they got the money.
They had an insurance on that school, on the building.
On the Jackman building.
Yes. And the superintendent got the money. Of course, it came through, I guess, his office, came back to his office. So he took the money and spent it, and I think that's when they built the gym out here on the old Adair County Hospital. So therefore, that left the black kids without a school. They didn't have no money to build one, and then, I mean, they done spent the money, so what were they going to do with?
Well, tell us who your father was.
My father, his name was Earl Willis, and he was raised by his auntie and uncle, and he grew up around here in Columbia until he got out of school. I think he finished, I'm not certain, he did not graduate from high school. I don't recall how far his education was when he went to school, but He joined the CC camp, and he served in the CC camp for several years. Then he got out of that. I don't know what he did in between then, but he became a truck driver for Skaggs Transfer, and he drove for Skaggs, that trucking company, for 35 plus years, I say. And then he retired. Of course, while he was still driving a truck, he was active in the NAACP. That's after the school burnt and the children didn't have nowhere to go to school at, so they organized the NAACP. And what's his name? James Crumlin. He came out and he helped them get organized, and he was the lawyer.
How long did it take for a chapter to really be, the NAACP chapter, to really be on the ground here at Columbia? You know, to actually get membership and get the movement rolling?
I don't think it took very long, because I think everybody was ready for it. They was ready for a change. And if going through the court system, fighting something that was the only way to go, then everybody was ready for it. Because I think they had people from Taylor County, Greene County, and all the surrounding counties. Everybody came to join, because they was all almost in the same situation that they were here in Adair County. So they had a pretty large membership here in one time, chapter. I don't know exactly how many members. I know they had to have so many to have to get a charter or a chapter or something. So, but anyway, they got one, and it stayed active for several years. I know. About two or three years ago, it just died.
When you said the people were ready and ready to be integrated, I think you mean the black community was ready.
The black community was.
Do you think the fact that Jackman was burnt down had something to do with that, or do you think that there was that much readiness to be integrated anyway?
Well, I think Jackman burning down had a lot to do with it. Because, now I don't know, but I believe if that school hadn't burned down, they would probably still been there for years to come, until something else, you know, would have happened and something. Because I don't think some of the people, there were pros and cons. Some wanted the integration and some didn't.
Black and white?
Black and white. Yeah, the whites did.
Did some blacks not want
some
integration
blacks
too?
They did not want the NAACP.
What, why not?
Some wouldn't join. They said they just didn't, you know,
want to
join.
Why do you think they didn't want to join?
I don't know. Maybe because they didn't understand it, what it was, you know, all about. So, I mean, there was more, you know, that joined than it was that didn't.
Okay.
So, it still went on.
Do you remember Mr. Crumlin coming down here?
I remember.
I'm scheduled to talk with him in a couple weeks. He still lives in Louisville, so.
Yeah, I remember he used to come, and whenever they would come, if they'd have an issue or something that was coming up, maybe they'd go to court for one thing or something, or maybe if that didn't go too good or something, they said any time that you would mention Crumlin's name around town, these people would panic.
Who's these people?
The white people.
Okay.
They would panic because they were scared of that name, James Crumlin. They know he was coming to town, and they would just go all to pieces.
Why would they go all to pieces? Why would they panic when they
because
heard Jim Crumlin's name?
They know they were doing wrong, I think, for one thing. They knew what they was doing or trying to do was wrong. And of course, I mean, like some of us, they was diehards. They didn't want to give it up, didn't want to change. So I think that was partly it, because you know how traditions go.
Uh-huh.
And just like some families' traditions are. So I think that's what it is.
You think they saw Jim Crumlin as something that was going to make the change here?
Yes,
and
I think that's what it was. They knew that a change was coming, and they wasn't ready for it, or they didn't want it.
Can you remember any interactions between your dad and the NAACP, maybe the state headquarters, which would be, I guess, Mr. Crumlin in charge of that in Louisville? Or do you remember any kind of strategies that they planned in order to integrate, other than to file suit alone?
Well, I think one time, did they have a march here?
They marched in,
I
think
Franklin. Yeah,
that was a statewide march.
Statewide. Yeah. I don't know. I can't remember much,
though. I know one. Well, I know. They had a meeting over, a state meeting or something over.
Yeah, there certainly was a meeting I read about in a church building that over 300 people attended.
Yeah, I think so, because I knew, you remember, what's his name, Bill Beard, they say he was running around downtown talking about all them people coming in here, they was going to be marching around town or something, and said all those white people downtown was scared because all these black people was coming in, they was going to march. Or something, but it wasn't. I don't know what it was. I don't think it was a march. I think it was just a meeting that they was going to have over there. And that's, I can't think of no meeting. I mean, no march that they had. Now they might have. Because like I said, you know, I wasn't here when a lot of the stuff went on. I read about it, or someone had to tell me about it.
Do you know much about the meetings that went on, either the big meeting or other meetings that went on from, you know, even if you weren't here in town when it happened? Did any white people attend these meetings?
That's not, I think they had a few supporters, but I don't know exactly who they were, but I think, a lot of them, some of them wanted to be in the background, didn't want to, you know, come forward, but I mean, they would support if it was financial, you know, help or anything. Some of them would, because a lot of the women, they worked for some of the people around in their households, and the women, you know, they would support them, give them a little money or something to help the cause or whatever. But I can't recall. I don't know the name. I'm scared to call any names because I might get, you know, right the wrong name. But I think some of that went on too. They had some backing. But some of them didn't want to be known that was doing it. Now I think, I know one, I believe. Now I think Bill Walker was a supporter of it.
Bill Walker's a white man?
Yes, he was a white man. He owned the flower shop down there.
You say that there may have been some white supporters that would support, but only kind of from behind or from the back, behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. What was the purpose of that? Why?
Well, they didn't want nobody to know, I guess. They had to live in this community and live with these people, and they didn't want to be singled out, of probably because somebody might retaliate against them.
For helping the blacks out.
Yeah.
For the whites helping the blacks out. Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you feel like that was a good support system at the time? Do you think that even though there was a small number, do you think the few whites that did help out the cause made it a little bit smoother, or did it even matter?
I don't know. It could have been. Like I say, I didn't know that much because I wasn't that, you know, actively involved in anything.
Did your father ever speak of any you know, after the fact, after, let's say, Jackman's gone and black students are attending the Adair County High School, did your father, what was his feelings a couple years after this all happened? How did he feel about the situation?
Well, he said it. There was a lot of work to it. And he said it wasn't a lot of, so much of physical work, but it was a lot of mental work, a lot of mental strain. Because, said, I mean, he had to watch himself as he moved around. Because like say he was a truck driver out there, and he said he had to watch himself out there on the road, because you never know whether somebody might try to do something to him. So he had to be on his guard at all times. So, I mean, after it was accomplished, I think it was kind of a satisfactory feeling. And it was something, he said, that needed to be done and should have been done a long time ago. You know, due to the circumstances of the time and everything, it just probably just wasn't time for it to happen.
Mm-hmm. After Jackman was gone, and maybe let's talk a few years after, you know, it burned down, and even after the integration, maybe a few years later, you know, what do you think the effect of that was on the black community, the fact that the main center black school was gone? How did that affect the community, you know, the school being ceasing to exist?
It took some getting used to. Because then there came, and see, the blacks around here, we didn't have any school buses. If we got to school, the black kids had to walk to school.
All along, even when Jackman was in?
When Jackman was in there, because it was not a school bus. They did not give the blacks a school bus to ride. Now, I think the whites had school buses. They had school buses.
We can ride buses until we started going to the white school.
Yeah. So, I mean, all around here in this community, of course, I guess they showed you where it was located at.
Generally told me. I didn't see, but...
Well, see, I mean, anybody from around here in this area or up there on the hill that we used to call it, or anywhere, a black Liv had to go to that school. They had to walk. And like I said, we had them old potbelly, well, they wasn't potbelly, but them old, well, potbelly, the warm morning heaters, mm-hmm. them old cold stoves sitting
in the
corner.
School, yeah. They didn't want nobody, they didn't necessarily tell who done it, but they put too much coal in the stuff.
And those stoves got
hot. Is that what burned the building down? Was there ever any curiosity if it was done on purpose at all? I mean, was...
It wasn't done on... They didn't purposely do it. They just filled, you know, around stuff. So they filled stuff.
I think it was kind of cool that day.
It was cool that day.
Okay. How do you feel? How do you feel that race relations have been in Adair County or in Columbia over the years since you were in school? You know, over the last 40 years or so?
Well, I think they have improved some. But it's still on the subtle side. I mean, you still have some. I mean, there's some they will treat you, I mean, talk to you and treat you just like there's no difference. But then you have some that's artificial, and then you have some that's just downright nasty. So, I mean, it's still kind of a mixed thing. You have to weed your way through it. I mean, you can almost tell who's who.
Right.
But some of the relations, the race relations, they have changed considerably from what they were since at school.
It's still in development, you think?
It's still got a long way to go.
Yeah.
Yes, and the school system, it is still not where it should be now.
In terms of what?
In terms of integration. Because they have, what, about two black teachers out there. And I mean, that shouldn't be. Because, I mean, there's enough blacks around here or anywhere that's qualified to do the same thing out there. They're, you know, the ones that they got out there doing. See, most of the way it used to be family tradition. If mom and daddy was teaching, okay, you got a son and daughter going through high school and you're going to send this child, he's going to graduate from high school, you're going to send him to college and you're going to stay there till they graduate out of college and come back and you're going to take a job. So it's just a revolving plan.